Welcome to Putting It On Record, a podcast of the Christian Science Journal. I'm Rita Politon, and with me today is Bill Moody, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher. Thanks for being with us, Bill.
Thank you, Rita.
Today we're exploring the topic of forgiveness. And Bill, is forgiving someone we feel has hurt us really that important?
You know, Rita, sometimes it seems to me that there are some lessons we never stop learning, like forgiveness. I think forgiveness is surely one of the more important life lessons that most of us have plenty of opportunity to practice. Forgiving one another, I think, is vital to keeping our joy, our peace, our well-being. It's vital to our self-respect and self-worth, to our dignity. I think it's even vital to our health. You know, when I looked up the definition in the dictionary to the word forgive, it said simply to stop feeling resentment against, to pardon, to let go of a claim for payment of a debt. Well, those are the basic definitions. Yet, you know, if you've ever found yourself in the position of being deeply wronged by someone, perhaps betrayed by a friend, or hurt and deceived by a family member you've trusted, or perhaps even persecuted by a coworker, well, those dictionary definitions don't seem to convey much of what it really means to forgive. Forgiveness is so much more. I think it includes a profound yielding, actually, yielding to God's love, yielding our own will to God's way of healing and restitution, yielding to a purer, more spiritual view of the one who we feel has hurt us. I think forgiveness also means loving another when that person may seem to deserve it least. I think it's fairly easy to forgive someone who has done everything they're supposed to do for us to forgive them, but can we forgive those who don't seem to deserve it? That's when freedom really comes for us. The peace is restored, a bridge is built, and for the one who committed that wrong against us, an opportunity to find his own peace and healing is also provided. I feel that God's grace is made evident in every act of forgiveness.
Bill, that's such a powerful way of looking at forgiveness. And so what does the Bible then have to say about forgiveness?
Well, I think the willingness to forgive is direct evidence that we're learning to express what the Old Testament book of Psalms calls God's tender mercies. Don't you love that phrase, God's tender mercies? In the New Testament, Christian discipleship is intimately tied to forgiving one another. It's a necessary outcome of genuine Christly love. Jesus taught forgiveness so often, in his Sermon on the Mount, for example, in the Lord's Prayer, in his defense of that woman who was taken in adultery, in his parables of the prodigal son and of the servant in debt to a certain king. At one point, just before Jesus taught this last parable, the Apostle Peter asked him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Well, Jesus' response was essentially that the forgiving should continue as long as it's needed. Jesus said, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." That's 490 times. Oh, then Jesus tells that parable of the servant who was in debt to the king, how he's forgiven that debt, and yet then refuses to release a fellow servant from his own debt. Jesus concludes the lesson by saying that it must be from our hearts that we forgive, from our hearts that we forgive everyone, his brother, their trespasses. Living this rule of forgiving everyone, his brother and sister, from our hearts, isn't that actually living by the golden rule? If, as Jesus taught, we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us, forgiveness must certainly be near the top of the list. How many times in our own lives have we hoped and prayed that someone would forgive us? There's an Arabic proverb I think has considerable wisdom on the subject. It says, inscribe the wrongs that are done to you in sand, but write the good things that happen to you on a piece of marble. Let go of resentment and retaliation which diminish you, and hold on to gratitude and joy which increase you. I find those words more than wise. I find them inspiring. No one wants to be diminished. We all want to grow, to be better, to be bigger in character. We want to feel that our lives are becoming progressively more meaningful, not more mean. You know, I've talked to people who have become sick with resentment, physically sick. And I've seen people turn to God in prayer and through the transforming action of Christ, drop that resentment, expressing a deeper forgiveness, more gratitude. There comes joy, and they've been healed.
Bill, I can see how that can happen because carrying around a hurt is really like carrying around a burden. But what if someone is angry? I mean, so angry and feels so hurt that they just don't feel like they have it in them to forgive, that forgiveness is really impossible. What then?
Well, that's a tough one. But again, I turn to Jesus' example. I mean, Jesus certainly practiced what he preached. He provided for me what I think is the supreme example of how forgiveness opens the door to healing, to redemption, to peace, and to freedom. He took the power of forgiveness all the way to his own crucifixion, where, even from the cross, he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wasn't that an undying forgiveness? And I think that when we might feel so angry or so hurt that we don't think we have it in us to forgive someone, again, can't we rely on Jesus' example? What did he do? Turn it over to God. Father, forgive them. You see what I'm getting at? Even when we feel we can't do it, we can turn it over to God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then we find that place of peace. We've turned it over to God, the tender mercies of God. That's what provides the real forgiveness.
Well, tell us more about that, then. How do we go about practicing forgiveness?
Well, I guess I feel that what allows us to practice such Christly forgiving comes from understanding more of the spiritual basis underlying forgiveness. For me, that spiritual basis is essentially founded on the reality of God's nature as divine love, of divine love's allness, of the universal, all-embracing power of love and love's ever-presence, of love, divine love, as the creator of all of us. Again, divine love is the cause of all being, the creator of all life. We are each God's creation, and our true identity, our spiritual individuality, reflects God. We reflect divine love. We are each love's expression. And I think once we begin to realize this about ourselves, once we accept its practical consequences for our lives, we will also realize more of our inherent capacity to forgive. We'll no longer hold on with hard hearts to hatred or anger or resentment. We'll not let these things eat away at our joy and peace. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer of Christian Science, once wrote, "One's first lesson is to learn one's self. Having done this," she wrote, "one will naturally, through grace from God, forgive his brother and love his enemies." Then Mrs. Eddy wrote, to avenge an imaginary or an actual wrong is suicidal. So I'd conclude that to forgive the wrong is life-saving. We'll naturally forgive because we do naturally love. Again, we're the expression of love. We're love's reflection. And we will live free, free of the resentment, free of the anger, because we forgive freely.
Well, that would certainly transform someone's life. And so what impact do you think that this kind of forgiveness you're talking about would have on the world then and its troubles?
You know, Rita, some years ago, I was reading about the work of the Templeton Foundation, and I saw that they had just announced that they were awarding more than $5 million in grants to researchers as part of a new international program called A Campaign for Forgiveness Research. Can you imagine $5 million in research on forgiveness? Well, isn't that a sign of the times? The purpose there was to develop a greater understanding of forgiveness and to promote more forgiveness in the world. I think that such efforts point to this hunger in the human heart to find that forgiveness. And, you know, there are many serious people who feel that an important part of finding lasting solutions to any of the difficult conflicts around the world today start with that forgiveness on a personal, one-to-one level, and then broadening out from there. I firmly believe that every time we practice forgiveness in our own lives, we're contributing to a larger peace in the world.
Most definitely. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Well, you know, I'd like to go back to that proverb I mentioned earlier. You know, whatever wrongs or hurts are done to us, let's keep writing them only in the sand, where the first warm breeze of God's love just erases them. We'll not be diminished by doing that. Instead, we steadily increase in love and grace. We grow spiritually. We find deeper meaning in our lives. The world feels the blessing, and so does everyone, all our brothers and sisters.
Well, Bill, thanks so much for coming in today and talking to us about forgiveness.
Thank you so much, Rita.
I've been speaking with Bill Moody, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from West Tisbury, Massachusetts. And thanks for listening to this edition of Putting It on Record, a podcast of the Christian Science Journal.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.